Ready.
Symbol flight. From ultralights to the edge of space, the Wright brothers flew in 1903, and aviation is still finding new ways to advance. Aviation is fun, it's business, and it's full of opportunity. Join Al Waterloo as he talks with amazing people doing amazing things in aviation.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the show. Tonight's broadcast is brought to you by the letters Oscar Bravo Kilo. If you don't know where that is, pull out your Jet Charter 4 flight and find it. That's where we're at broadcasting tonight live. My name's Al Waterloo, and welcome to the show. We've got a great show. Mark Eppner here, co-host of Simple Flight. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Had a great show last week, and I'm excited to continue it this week.
Yeah, excellent. We got two great guests with us today. They're doing some pretty awesome things in aviation tonight. And who are they, Mark?
Well, I didn't know you were going to hand it off.
Yeah, why not?
Because we're supposed to do a joke first, but that's besides the point.
Well, let's say hello to them so that. And then we'll get back to the joke.
Okay, sounds good. So Lewis Bowers is with us, and Lewis is a member of the flying club that you and I belong to, and has I think some pretty neat things going on in his life. And looking forward to chatting with him. And Adam Herson, who is going to talk to us tonight about something I think that really leverages as a follow up to what we had last week. We talked about doing new things in new ways, and you know, as I think about some of the inhibitors to doing new things, it's always been enabling technologies that just haven't been there to support it. And I think we're going to hear some great things about some of the new enabling technologies to help us take that leap to the next place. So how you guys doing?
Oh, very good. Very good. Excited to be on with you guys tonight.
Good. Yeah, this is great. And we're really excited to be here. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. You bet. You bet. It's going to be a lot of fun. So a great way to have fun is to start the night off with a joke.
Well,
do we have any good jokes?
I don't know if I do, because after last week, you laughed so hard, and I wasn't expecting that. And so now I think I set the bar so high, there's no way that I could live up to it again, but I have to give it a try.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know the things that happen in real life are the things that are the most funny, right? I mean,
right.
These jokes, just like Santa last week, that was real. Exactly. Thank God no sound effects this week. So I happen to be flying commercially, and I'm going to keep the airline name it's kind of secret because I think it would reflect poorly on them. But I was flying, and it was just a really weird flight. We got on, and the flight attendants were there, but we saw no crew. And no crew? What's
no
this
crew?
All about? No. And then all of a sudden from the back, these two guys come on, and it looked like a captain uniform. He had the four bars, but he was wearing dark sunglasses and had a white cane.
A white cane.
Yeah.
Like Ray Charles kind of cane.
Yeah, exactly. Bumping into the chairs and the things. So I think, this has got to be some kind of practical joke. And then following right behind him was a gentleman with three bars, obviously the first officer, and he had a guide dog.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I went. So you start seeing everybody in the plane kind of look back and forth, what's going on, and is this a practical joke? But they played it right through. They went into the cockpit, and everyone's looking at the flight attendants. And you know, what is going on here? And so the plane starts up, we're starting to taxi, and we're going down the runway, and you can hear throttling up and all this, and everyone starts, you know, looking at each other, and there's whispers, and then getting to some screams, and it's getting more and more hysterical. And just before the end of the runway, everyone screams real loud, and thankfully the airplane rotates and lifts off.
All right.
Yeah. So maybe this is
pretty normal.
Well, except I happened to be listening to the cockpit conversation on the headset, and that's when I heard the first officer say to the captain, you know, someday these guys aren't going to scream, and we won't know when to rotate.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's really good, because that's an important fact. That's the new... The V1 rotate. V1 rotate.
That's right. When everyone screams, pull on the wheel. Yeah.
But getting serious for a sec, do any airlines still let you listen to the radio there taking off?
Yeah.
Actually, United does on Channel 9.
They used
but
to,
you,
yeah.
But you only hear not obviously their intercom. You hear just them talking to ATC.
Yeah.
But this one, I mean, that's the one thing I liked about this airline. You can actually hear the sounds inside the cockpit. So
that's nice.
Yeah.
That's really cool. V1 rotate. Well, you know, that's kind of something. You know, some of these guys that you see walk up to the gate, they almost seem like that. You know, it's funny because we used to fly out of Philadelphia a lot, and these guys would walk up to the gate, and they just had a Big Mac, and you know, they're like, you know, so they look like they could be an oxygen sometimes. They need it. It's just
inspiring confidence.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
Well, you were talking to me about how you bring the professionalism job, and I guess I'm kind of transitioning to something a little bit more serious. But it is amazing sometimes, and maybe this reflects what people think of aviation,
right,
even when they're working in it. Sometimes they do look a little ragged, like maybe next time tuck in the shirt.
Or wear a, instead of a clip-on tie, tie a real knot in your tie.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's somewhat significant and indicative of how the industry has changed and again, what way people think about it, and we need new thinking.
Right, exactly. Well, we got some great new thinking today. And so this show that we were kind of developing here is to showcase amazing people doing amazing things in aviation, right?
Right.
And
there's a lot of them.
Oh, there's a lot of them. So we think that we nailed down two great guys today doing amazing things in aviation and making that forward thinking. And we got some cool ideas coming down the pipeline. So let's talk. Let's get Lewis and Adam into this and kind of figure out what they're doing. They're kicking you know, behind out of
beep.
Yeah. Where is that? I got a sound effect down there somewhere for
that.
Let's
skip it. Yeah, whatever. Forward.
Anyway, but you know they're doing a great job of contributing to aviation with their outside talents and bringing them to aviation to make it better. So thanks guys for doing that. And why don't you go ahead and give us a little rundown of what you guys got going on?
Sure. Well, I can start. A quick introduction. Adam Herson. Lived in Chicago all my life and have recently become a student pilot and I'm almost there to get my license.
All right.
So, a quick intro. I want to tell you a little bit about SparkReel.
Yeah, absolutely.
SparkReel.com.
Absolutely.
And SparkReel is a place where groups can share mobile video.
Excellent.
And ever since I was a youngin', I'd always been obsessed with mobile technology. And so recently a partner of mine and I decided that we wanted to solve sort of two problems in the world of mobile video. Number one, your mobile videos on your device need a home.
Right.
And number two, we need a really organized way to share all those wonderful moments with the right people and the people who care about those moments and want to see that stuff. So that's what SparkReel is. It's a place where you can shoot, share, and socialize your mobile videos.
Excellent.
And one of the first ways that we started to do that was in the world of aviation.
Awesome.
And so I'll kick it over to Lou there, who sort of pioneered the idea of this.
Thank you, Adam. As a bit of an introduction, I'm Lewis Bowers, also Chicago born and raised, and I've been a pilot for almost 6 years now. And once Adam and his partner came to me and filled me in about the ins and outs of SparkReel, I started thinking I need a place to document my aviation experiences and get some of those takeoffs and landings on tape and share not only for myself but to other pilots or friends of mine who haven't been able to get in an airplane.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, definitely. Well, I going back to what it's real quick what Adam was saying about, you know, I got to bring this back to kind of my childhood about sharing mobile video or sharing video, taking pictures and things like that. I got to tell you that the mobile aspect is the big part that I think that's really cool about this is when I was a kid, my mom, she would always take pictures. We'd stop nonstop, pictures and go, you know, we'd run errands and I was always to the pharmacy to get film developed. And I just got this I wouldn't say dislike, but, you know, I'm like, okay, well, let's put the camera down and just enjoy what we're doing. But then, so I refused to own a camera for a long time, but now cameras are on cell phones, and they're pretty good cameras. I mean, having an iPhone, you know, it's awesome. So it's a really cool way of, you know, of sharing, you know, your experiences, just even with your, just with your iPhone. So I think that the mobile part of what you were saying is pretty outstanding. And, you know, I'm a pretty big advocate of taking, you know, video and pictures while flying and sharing them with people, because it's awesome. I think it's great views, some that people don't get to look at all the time, and, you know, just share them.
Sometimes I think you take more videos than play PIC. It's like, when does a guy fly the airplane? He's always taking videos.
That's why we have George the autopilot.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, but I'm sure a lot of our listeners are wondering, you know, how is this different than YouTube? Because we all can type in Cessna or Cirrus and go watch some videos on YouTube. How is this any different?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, this is a place where you can really enjoy an ongoing dialogue with mobile video with people that share the same interests as you. So when you upload a video to YouTube, the unfortunate thing is that it's viewed by some people. They may comment on it. And then unfortunately, it goes to this video graveyard where you can never sort of access it again.
Right.
And people never respond to you with a like-kind theme video on YouTube. And so SparkReel is a place where groups can share in that ongoing dialogue of mobile video. And then you can always go back to your SparkReel groups to share in those moments. So it's just it's a much more structured way to share themed experiences and then organize those experiences so you can go back to them and relive them later.
Yeah.
And certainly the technology has been there. Is SparkReel the only one that's doing this, or is there something that you're doing that differentiates from others that are out there?
Yeah. I mean, again, there's other services that allow you to share mobile video.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them, though, are blast sharing, where you're sharing to the world on social communities such as Facebook and Twitter. And one of the things that also makes us unique is you don't need an app. Anyone can get in the game. Mm-hmm. They can share mobile videos to a unique email address that belongs to that group, and virtually anyone can participate and do so in seconds.
Wow! So. Wow! So, and is this strictly for aviation?
Not strictly for aviation. So you can start a SparkReel group for virtually any purpose. So whether it's sharing with family and friends, or sharing with folks that have the same interests that you do that you've never met before. Or even interacting with brands and businesses.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It is. And again, I think, as I said in the beginning, enabling technologies, we have, for instance, and this is what I'm envisioning, I don't know if you remember, AOPA had a mentoring program, right? And so that was where you just said, I'm going to help somebody get a license because they're trying to improve or increase the pilot population. And what happened, I think there was so many long-distance mentors going on. And it failed because you send an email, how was your flight? Oh, I did okay, or I didn't go today. And it was more just words of encouragement. I see this, based on just the short introduction you gave, maybe this allows that virtual mentorship and allowing people to connect in the community across wide geography. And again, all based on maybe a single theme that SparkReel allows.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So you know, we've seen people connect on aviation. We've seen people connect with sports, and, you know, it's great. Mm-hmm. It really makes you feel as though you're experiencing the moments that others are experiencing. So it's so interesting, because Al's posted a lot of great videos to our flying group, and, you know, he gets to do a lot of things that me as a student pilot, I don't get to do. And so it's great, and it's inspirational to be able to see that stuff from much more experienced pilots.
Sure.
So, of course, when I hear that, I wonder, now, do you have censorship rights?
Because we're going to need them.
So, Lewis, getting back to you, the kind of the creator for the group, you know, your original goal was to just kind of, you know, well, let's hear what your original goal was.
Originally, it was just, hey, I want a place where I can see some of the things I've done in flying and relive those down the road. I've go on flights, and it's easy to quickly forget about a particular landing or a particular takeoff. But if you have someone else who can hold the camera,
right,
and you get a great video, then I wanted to keep that and kind of see that and be able to relive that experience. But then
right,
it sort of evolved once Adam and UL were posting more, and the diversity of videos was increasing. It's grown to being like a medium for us to increase our dialogue.
Right.
With aviation.
Oh, that's a great way of putting it. That's actually a really great way of putting it, because there's two things. One, there's a community aspect to it, and then two, I think each individual whoever posts their videos makes us kind of their own. You know, they get as much as they get out. You know, as mm-hmm. they get out of it as much as they put into it. So you know, you could be really active, post a lot of videos. You can sit back and just enjoy them. You know, you can try to be an inspiration. People comment on it. I know you guys are really good. You know, I like your feedback when you post comments. It kind of makes me want to go out and find another, you know, cool flying moment and share it with you guys. And I really enjoy seeing your guys. So Lewis, you've been putting a lot of stuff on about the Oshkosh, Warbirds, aerobatics, you know, decathlons and things like that. And that's stuff that, you know, I don't really have a whole lot of access to. So it's that that dialogue and that you were talking about. So those experiences, it's kind of like a video logbook, mm-hmm. in a way, right? You know, it's attaching, it's a memoir of each flight that you may have done, and kind of sharing, you know, what that 1.0 of pilot and command time you wrote in your logbook. You know, it's putting all the depth into that exact flight.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept. You know, I found that when I write in my little logbook, there's only, maybe I write big as I've gotten older, but I can't put very much in there. And a logbook not only serves as a memory for me, but also it serves, you know, to be able to talk about it with others. And, you know, the idea of putting some kind of video aspect to it really enhances and expands exponentially, you know, what you can do with it and the value it provides in the long term.
And I think, like, just with my own experience on it, in flying the Archer that our club has access to, that from an instruction standpoint, I can look back at a landing I made, and the Archer happens to be a nose heavy aircraft, and so I will watch that video and be like, you know, that the nose on that landing went down a little too quickly. I need to remember to keep a good amount of back pressure next time. And so I think there's like an instructional aspect to it as well, or I guess self-critique in my case.
So maybe there's a new tagline for our service called the Logbook of Life, right?
Yeah, nice.
Cha-ching.
All right. Excellent. No, that's awesome. That's exactly what it is.
Isn't that what it always does? I think back to the videos. You talked about pictures, but our folks always took 8mm movies of us, and at the time it was, Mom, don't. You know, I don't want everyone to see me in the bathtub. Especially at age 23, but I mean,
wow.
Yeah, no.
Yikes.
But then later on, you know, you see the family pictures, and it brings back the memories of things. You know, it really is good. So maybe that logbook of life isn't too far off.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great point behind that, because you know, there's so many different stories behind each one of these flights that we do or videos that we post and things like that. It's kind of a you know, those life moments. So Spark Reel is not just, you know, it's not just for flying, but it's also, there's so many different aspects. You know, like you can create private or group events or things like that, and you know, share you know, just as you would share amongst your friends in conversation, some, you know, what happened in the day. Or you can like keep things, you know, pretty private. You could do that using Spark Reel, right? And you know, keeping matters private amongst, you know, whoever your online dialogue is, as Lewis said. And I think that's pretty neat. You know, the logbook of life. So, but anyway, there's the one thing that I really like about Spark Reel is that, you know, it allows me to show people what I do. So, being a professional pilot, it's kind of hard to share. You know, you don't really have an office. People can come visit you. You can't go out to lunch with people and things like that. But you can go out. It's a way for me to capture and share what I do for a living, what pays my bills. You know, so I always say that. You know, I asked my parents once, and they said, "Oh, well, you know, when I was living with them, I started flying for the airline. I asked them, you know, I'm like, oh, what's it like when I'm gone?" They said, "Well, you're gone. You know, you're not here." You know, but which is a weird concept for me because I'm living me and I'm traveling all over the place. So there's, you know, I'm out there working, but, you know, to my parents, I'm just gone. And then I come back and eat their food and sleep in and then ask for a ride to the airport again, you know, 2 days later. But so it's a neat way to be able to share what you do for a living, what your heart and your soul's in. And I think that's kind of a neat function of that. And you see what everybody else is doing. Within flying, just in the specific flying group on sparkreel.com.
Yeah.
Right, and you touched on another area, and we said the word community a few times.
Right.
And, you know, we talked last week about community being two root words, common unity, kind of that which binds us together. And as pilots, I don't know too many other groups that are so passionate about that thing that binds us together. And what I see this as, because we talked about the power of the community and helping address the challenges that aviation is facing today. And again, it's limited because we in the club, we get together and we have breakfast, 40 of us, but it doesn't expand the network. It doesn't expand the community. And I think with something like we're hearing tonight with Spark Reel, you really open up a whole new world and you draw people in. Almost it's, as you know, we said earlier, an invitation.
Right.
To join the family, to join the community. And without an enabling technology like this, that just doesn't happen.
Right, exactly.
So I think that's another thing that makes us really unique is it's the collaboration among folks who have common interests and social connections.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the typical social construct today is people just sort of share willy-nilly with a large group of people and we follow people. But Spark Reel is really about collaborating among folks to share content.
Very cool. So, you know, I've been in the technology field for many, many years, and it's version one of something comes out, but you know what version two is, and you kind of know where version three is going. You're all these years out seeing an evolution of the technology. Is that same kind of thing here? Do you have a long-term vision, or let's see what comes in and where it goes from there? Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're just tapping the beginning. You know, we're just at a point where mobile devices now are unbelievably capable. And it's been a couple of years now that people have been building up this amazing inventory of mobile video moments on their devices.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's been sort of locked away in this video graveyard. And now we have sort of the high-speed mobile networks and the devices that are capable of sharing those in an instant.
Right.
So I think in 2-3 years... this is going to become, I think, a primary form of communication, similar to how text messaging took off last decade.
Yeah,
and,
right.
You've got this short, a brevity style of communication, but with video, it's very rich in terms of what you can see other people are doing.
Right, exactly. I think that, yeah, the video is going to be kind of the next new wave of, you know, just marketing or sharing experiences just in general, because there's so much information that could be, you know, that's poised into them. It's actually pretty exciting, you know. And part of the neat thing about this is that, you know, aviation. I think this is a great time in aviation because technology is really starting to catch up with it. You know, the things like ForeFlight and an iPad and a touchscreen GPS and an airplane. You know, that all that stuff might not mean a whole lot to regular people, but It's this new technology that's kind of, you know, percolating in the background, and you know, things like Spark Reel are going to really you know, be key for making aviation better than it is already. You know, aviation's great right now, but the being as a communicating device to just each other as well as you know, the general public, it's going to be an outstanding form of you know, it's not outstanding canvas.
But and certainly, no technology, no product, no service exists without a need.
Right.
Right. It's the old 1960 Ted Levitt saying, when a person buys a quarter inch drill, they're just buying quarter inch holes.
Right.
Right. So we don't create anything new with the technology like SparkReel, but I think to your point, today's, well, the people we want to be pilots today, the younger set, if you will,
yeah,
which includes, as we talked earlier, the three of you, but doesn't include me.
Right.
I'm not part of that community. This is the kind of thing that will be comfortable for that user,
right,
and expect it, and they'll embrace it.
Right.
Where maybe some of the others that represent old GA, old general aviation, maybe not so much.
Right.
Know?
Right. Well, here's a good demonstration. So, Lewis, how easy is it to upload a video to SparkReel?
It's a matter of seconds. Just on your mobile device. What I do, I just go to my video collection. I walk through the steps to attach that to an email, and I send it right to the unique email address for the flying group, and that's justflying@sparkreel.com. Enter the title of the video in the subject line and in the body of the email. Any comments or any specific points that I want to make for when they're uploaded. That's really it. It's very easy, and you can do it right after the flight.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Out of my car.
Right, it's like fresh mind. Fresh in your mind, and it's that instantaneous gratification of do it. Just do it now, and put it in your pocket, and it's.
So I want to try this. Can I try this now?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's do it.
All right. So I've got. Go ahead. I've got an iPad in front of me, and
yeah.
Actually, the first night that I got this iPad 3, I happened to be offered a ride in a Cirrus SR-22, and we're going to go land at O'Hare. And I said, well, wait a minute. You said land at O'Hare, and then you said SR-22. Those don't go together in the same sentence. But as I found out, that's another one of those myths, and maybe we can talk about the myths a little bit later.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we can. So I said, okay, great. I got this new iPad. I want to take a video record that we actually land an SR-22 at O'Hare.
Right.
And it wasn't a touch and go because the controller doesn't even know what a touch and go is. We did a full stop taxi back and took off. And so I got this little 19-second video that I'm going to open. And you're saying I can just send this to flying@sparkreel.com. Okay, I'm going to do it right now.
You got it.
Yeah.
All right, so email video. And preparing video. My little iPad's working hard. Okay. flying@sparkreel.com. And the subject will be takeoff at O'Hare. Sound good?
Sounds great.
Actually, let's make it real pilot. ORD.
Exactly.
And then do I put anything in the body of the text?
You don't have to.
All right. I won't. And should I take my signature line out, or do I leave that in?
No, you can take it out.
Okay. Yeah, no one wants to.
Unless you want flying enthusiasts calling you all of next week asking for.
Where is this? How do we
touch
do it?
And, go at O'Hare
and then I hit send. So I hit send, and should be sending soon.
That's it?
I think that's it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So hopefully you'll get a confirmation shortly. All of us flying group members will get an alert.
Yeah.
And then every one of us will get to see what it is you're up to in the aviation world.
This is pretty exciting. And so I'll get this alert in my email?
Exactly. Once it's posted.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then us as avid followers will drop whatever we're doing. That's usually what I do.
And
watch
that
it right
email
away.
Come in. Yeah, if it's
an
Waterloo update, then I've got to go check that out right away.
Yeah,
cool. Then
I'm gonna see Mark Eppner.
That would be me.
Drop what you're doing and take a gander. Oh, this is really cool stuff because it's super. So I'm a big proponent of making, I'm not going to do anything if it's hard, or it's got to be as easy as possible. And then the neat thing about this is that you can email it. You don't have to open up an app at the moment and you know, upload your video and things like that. You can all, so you could just.
It's already there. Right. I just went on to start building.
I heard the ding. I got up. Oh, there it is.
There it is.
I see it.
This is a momentous occasion because you've just uploaded your first.
Oh, and now you can even hear it. I'll turn down the volume. Actually, can anyone else hear it?
Yeah.
Wherever that was the piston engine. That's a beautiful shot of the O'Hare terminal not many people get to see. But now you can. I just shared it with everybody.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is cool.
Very momentous. And for congratulations on uploading your first Spark Reel.
Woo!
That's pretty good.
Awesome. Oh, you just gave me $500. Great job.
Yeah.
Well, we should do something. Make sure that other people are. Experiencing that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a pretty fun way of interacting with aviation, showing your enthusiasm and making it a lot of fun. So what should we do?
Well, why don't we put a little challenge out there for people?
All right. Sounds good. So we'll use, let's see. How about, I think everybody has a smartphone nowadays. Or is pending their upgrade or holding out for their upgrade on their phone for the iPhone 5 or something like that coming out here hopefully real soon. Fingers crossed.
You're really excited about that.
I am. Okay. All right.
September 12th, I heard.
Oh, all right.
Is it really?
I am equally excited.
Actually, I need one badly. I have a very old phone that's considered a smartphone, and except for, let's see, I can't do internet on it because it gets a memory leak. I can't take pictures with it. But they keep telling me I have a smartphone.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to wait. I had heard October. So you're telling me it's September?
Yeah. The last thing I read is the rumor is that their sales of the iPhone 4 are going less than forecasted, and they think it's because people are waiting for the 5. And so
I'm sure it is.
Forward. I'm one of those. So.
We used to. I've been in sales for a lot of years, and we always called it SWAT: sell what's available today, and don't tell them what's coming tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, so what kind of challenge can we put together? Maybe even look to our guests for ideas of what we can put out in front of our listening audience that challenge them.
Yeah. Well,
we usually tempt our audience with some type of nice reward or recognition.
Excellent.
That's fitting for the theme of the group. So I couldn't think of anything more fitting for the Flying Spark Reel group than maybe a gift card to Sporty's.
All right.
Yeah, we could do that right?
That's good.
I'll make the investment with you.
How do I win? What do I have to do?
Yeah, well, I guess we have to develop that right now.
Yeah, well, so here, how about this? Let's do a let's make a fun challenge, an old this is what I used to do at my old birthday parties growing up. How about a scavenger hunt? How's that sound? Maybe a video scavenger hunt. Post a video of an aviation challenge to a Spark Reel.
Okay, so why not take that, how about down this path? Because one of the things we've been talking about, how do we get people to fly more?
Right.
And, I mean, if you could get an airplane, which everyone loves to do, and take a video and earn a gift card to Sporty's, they'd be willing to do pretty much anything.
Absolutely, I would.
So why don't we say, post your video of an upcoming flight, let's say over the next couple weeks or something.
How about over the next week?
Okay, next week.
Let's make this. Let's make this a little incentive. You know, they got to work for it. So maybe not just one, but if they tune in next week, they'll hear the next clue for.
Okay,
for that.
But in terms of a video of some maybe going to a an outing with on a date, doing something special with aviation. Going
Absolutely.
To even a $100 hamburger, but not just a picture at the airport that you live near, but get in an airplane, fly somewhere, and take a picture that'll make us go, wow.
Right. Maybe it's even not for, we have non-pilot listeners, so maybe it's checking in for a flight or walking in, something aviation related. Post it, post it to the flight, post your video of you checking in or boarding your flight
let's let the audience figure out what's going to make us go wow. Let's
Absolutely.
Not put too many things other than it should be a video. Let's not do any pictures because that's old school.
Right.
And we're not going to be old school anymore.
Exactly. So let's do that. So post a video to Spark Reel.
And how do they do that again?
You film it and you email it right from your phone, flying@sparkreel.com.
SparkReel.com.
Exactly.
For those That'd be cool.
Yeah.
And maybe we can have Adam and Lewis help us pick the winner based on creativity and originality and all that.
We'd be glad to be the judges.
Yeah.
So a couple detail points here. We should tell them, and I'm sure Al will tweet this, but we should tell them where they can go right now to see all the flying videos that have been uploaded to date.
Right.
And it's a simple URL. It's www.sparkreel.com.
Sparkreel.com/G/flying. /G/flying.
And so we'll go ahead and I'll tweet it, and hopefully you guys can all catch a glimpse.
Absolutely.
And if for some reason you get so excited, you take a video that's really long and your mobile phone won't allow you to upload it because it's too big, you can just go to the desktop website and upload it right from your computer. Because I'm sure you're going to want to win that Sporty's gift card.
Absolutely, yeah. So how long has SparkReel been out there?
So a short period of time. We've been beta testing for about 6 months. We're just getting started to go live. And we're doing some interesting things with other groups. We have a men's fitness group. And we have a lot of bloggers who are using SparkReel to interact with their audience and throw some unique challenges out there. And we're pretty new, but
it's exciting to be on the cusp of something new like this.
Yeah, we're ready to grow the community, and I imagine you'll see a lot of these challenges out there if you visit SparkReel often.
Yeah, it's actually, you just brought up something how the fitness group is using it. What opportunities are there for the different groups to kind of almost see best practices from others to say, hey, we should be doing that too?
Yeah, that's the most interesting thing is watching the idea generation as folks see successful SparkReel groups with a certain interest or, you know, just the way it's being used among friends. It generates different ideas and ways that we can capture moments and share them with the right people. So I think as we envision the SparkReel community a year from now, it's a platform for folks to communicate with friends and family. And if you want, you can keep that intimate. I think it's going to be a great community for people who share like-kind interests to communicate and learn from each other and get inspired by each other about, and again, aviation's a great example of that.
Right.
And I think it may be a great way for brands and businesses to engage with their audience and really understand how fans and customers are interacting with their product or service.
Right.
So I think that's hopefully our glimpse of the future a year from now.
And so, you know, you don't want to put any negative vibes out there, but what's the, not the risk, but what's that bad thing that we don't want to see happen? What ensures that this is successful? I don't even know how to ask the question, but we've seen great technologies that should have made it and didn't, and then you have others.
Like
Sega
Saturn.
Funny, that's just what I wrote down here. Sega Saturn. You understand what I kind of what I'm asking?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing that we don't want to happen is to wake up and Google to announce that they're doing this tomorrow. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Our goal is to be unique. So while everyone's out there, putting together software and services where people can blast share mobile videos. And there's a lot of services trying to be what I'll call the Instagram of video, if you all have heard of the popular service Instagram.
Yep.
And we want to be different. The social construct to date has been following people, and we want to make it sort of a team and collaborative experience.
Right.
So I think there will be a lot of people that are jumping into the video space and in potential competition, and I think we want to just do it a little bit differently, where it's about the group experience and it's about an ongoing dialogue among folks that you want to share with. And I think that's what makes us different. And right now we feel like that's pretty unique.
Right.
And so hopefully our community will scale and it'll continue to be unique.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm just excited. We're like at the ground floor with this thing.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Pretty important.
We got to get... Lewis is very important because he was the creator of this flying group and props to him for kind of showing this and believing in sharing this with aviation. I think it's just an outstanding medium. So props to you for...
Thank you.
For following your heart with that, because that's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, I think it again comes back to not only we said this week, but last week is
the community is going to drive where this right. goes. And it's no one person has the answers, but all of us are part of the solution.
And I think just building on the whole dialogue concept, Al commented on one of my videos that he's a big P-51 Mustang fan. So the next time I'm at an airport and I see a Mustang, I'm gonna take a quick video and shoot it right to SparkReel and get it up there. And he's done some exciting things. He just recently flew down the Hudson and filmed and even put music to it. Yeah. And it's an inspiration to other people. And I think to non-pilots, hey, I want to see New York from that perspective. I can't see that perspective of that beautiful skyline in any other way except in an airplane right. going down. Just at 125 knots.
Yeah, absolutely. I call it the poor man's penthouse in Manhattan. I wrote a blog article on it. It was just touching on what you just said. The blog article was called "Who Would Win in a Fight: The Real Housewives of New York or the Verrazano's Narrows Bridge," and is kind of going to the Real Housewives thing. So Manhattan's an expensive city, right? And you pay more money the higher you want to live in the mm-hmm. sky. But here you are in an airplane, and it costs you less than $200, and you have the best view, and you're higher than any building in the city. And it's just kind of a weird experience, you know. So it's there's this inversion of this temperature inversion, but let's make it a money inversion, right? So the higher you go in Manhattan, the more it costs, and then boom, all of a sudden, you know, the cheaper it gets because the higher you go. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, that's weird. But speaking of that, and this is where Al's usage of the SparkReel group inspired an idea on our end, is he flew around on 4th of July, right?
Yeah.
And I had never thought to do that before, but we saw your video instantly while we were watching fireworks. And my wife said, that is the best idea ever. Next year, we're going to do that.
Yeah.
And so it's this great idea.
I mean, I think it's always so cool to go out on Lake Michigan or any body of water on a boat and watch fireworks. How cool is it to see it from the top down?
Yeah.
It is. It's when you go up there and you see all the different fireworks shows, you have no idea how many fireworks there are, going off and, just people's backyard. You know, I don't understand why it's illegal in Illinois just based on seeing the...
illegal as it was. Yeah. You should have been behind my house yesterday right. across the street here. It was someone was going to have some pretty big fireworks.
Right. But no, it's a lot. It's a neat way of sharing something, and, if... It's a great thing if you don't want to deal with crowds, let me put it that way.
Yeah. Well, and actually, so Adam, you bring up another excellent point, is you don't think about that. Now you've been inspired to maybe next year do that. But we talk about myths. Many people wouldn't think, you mean you could actually go down the Hudson? That can't be legal.
Right. And it's weird. The funny thing is that you don't have to talk to a single person. You squawk VFR and you listen to a little common traffic advisory frequency. It's the busiest, most dense, historic and memorable airspace in the entire world. And think about all the events that that have occurred on the Hudson or in Manhattan. So one thing that was really kind of interesting is that, as you're flying up the Hudson and you come from the south, you see where the old Twin Towers stood. And you're in an airplane, and it's this weird, weird mind, body, and soul moment of like, whoa, this is kind of one of the last views of this flight, and this was on this day, and I'm right there, and you're flying next to the new tower and stuff like that. But I don't know, it's pretty inspirational.
And now people around the world can share in that, right?
Absolutely.
But also those that maybe even live in the area may see it and say, hey, I can do that too. I can go see a firework. I can go down just west of O'Hare and go south, turn left on the Eisenhower and fly to the big buildings and parallel them just below the top. You can't do that, but we found out you can. And now, that the run that we talked about, I just talked about that we did not too many weeks ago, that could be almost a training video for someone else. Say, hey, look what they did. I'm going to do that. I'm going to follow exactly what they did.
Yeah.
And not see any F-16s or anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we now know that whatever Al does on SparkReel, my wife will then want to do. So, Al, you're going to have to go tailgate at a lot of Bears games.
It sounds like I got to do a lot of flying in the Caribbean or something. Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, it might be a good income source for you. You just got to meet his wife. And
yeah, right.
Hey, Al, I want you to do this. I'm really looking forward to this vacation.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah. Only if.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there is this kind of like, so this is like busting some myths with using SparkReel as a community share. So I call it almost like a virtual CFI, right? You know, we're kind of in a weird way, we're all teaching each other. We're learning from each other. So taking down some of these myths of flying. So you can do the Hudson River. We can do a loop into downtown Chicago. And it's perfectly fine and legal, something that, you know, your comfort level might not be up there. So maybe this could actually be a supplement or a replacement even for, you take all these free courses, you know, on the FAA to learn how to do something. But mm-hmm. imagine if you could see it, you know, take the core, the PowerPoint presentation they put up, and then actually, you know, add on, you know, add a video of what actually is going on, you know, by, not by the FAA flying it, but by just some Joe Smo in a 152. Mm-hmm.
And so many of these myths are limiting the activity that could be in general aviation.
Right.
You know, yesterday you did something that, you know, others, I think, and many others did say, I'm not flying today because President Obama happens to be in Chicago and there's a TFR because all over our maps are these big red circles.
Right.
And you can't fly, right?
Well, I would say, yeah, you can.
Yeah, and I think absolutely. You proved it.
Right. So here, let's take a poll of hands. Would you fly when the President Obama's in town?
No, I would. Not if he's flying, not if it's during the no-fly, but, you know, I've done it before with instrument flight. So, yeah, I mean, I will, but I know that I can.
Right.
But I see a lot of people write on the emails, I'm canceling my flight because of the TFR.
Right. Lewis, how about you? Would you go flying in something like today?
You know, I've had a similar experience as Mark, but prior to that, absolutely not. I saw TFR, and I didn't want to go anywhere near that for fear of seeing an F-16 on my wing.
Yeah, Adam, have you ever flown through a TFR with a flight instructor?
Yeah, not for the president though. Not for the president. Maybe a Cubs game. I've avoided a Wrigley, but
yeah. Well, hey, that's that's all right. We gotta catch,
but we're all avoiding fun. Wrigley now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
So are the Cubs.
Yeah. but yeah. So anyway, what happened yesterday? I was flying with one of my instrument students. So we were on an instrument flight plan. But so when the president flies in, he flies into O'Hare. Right, so he lands Air Force One, lands at O'Hare, and anywhere he is, there's a 10-mile no fly zone ring. Absolutely nobody can go in or out of it. So that TFR, that no fly zone ring, came up or was going to go active at 2 p.m. Well, at 1:56 p.m. we're in that we're going to go ahead and take off, and air traffic control said, hey, can you get out of here? You know, you got 4 minutes to be 10 miles away from O'Hare. So we're at the Chicago Executive Airport, Papa Whiskey Kilo. If you don't know where that is, pull out your JEP chart or look it up on 4Flight, and you'll be able to see the active TFRs right now. So we took off, and we literally had 2 minutes to haul bananas to get 10 miles outside of O'Hare's airspace before this TFR went up. And sure enough, we made it by 3 miles and before the TFR went active, and everything was good. We were the only ones out there, so we got direct to our fix that we were flying to. It was awesome because everybody else was kind of nervous to go out and fly. It was really neat.
Yeah, and there was a lot of value. Not only did you get to fly and your student get to get the learning that he had anticipated, meet his goal. But again, I think that student now will say next time, hey, you can go fly here. You know, you passed your knowledge on to somebody else that, yes, right. You can, even though it's 3 minutes from becoming live. Get up there and get out and do your thing.
Right.
We own that airspace.
Absolutely. We pay good tax money for it.
Yeah, very
so
good.
Use it. Cook County taxes aren't cheap. That's for sure. But are there any fly? So what are some things that Lewis or Adam? What do you think that you necessarily, you know, that you've heard by under the you know, kind of like on the down low that, hey, you can't go in there. You can't fly into O'Hare in a 152 or you can't fly in the Hudson River. I didn't know that we could fly downtown Chicago on the other side of the buildings, not in the lakeshore. What are there any things that, that you guys can think of or you want to do or think that would be cool to do in an airplane that you not necessarily think that you can?
I think you hit two of the big ones that Chicago pilots and most definitely myself think about, and one is flying west of the city, and you've demonstrated that's possible through a great video on Spark Reel. Adam has as well, and so that's inspired me to try that, and then the other one is certainly landing at O'Hare, and now we've got a great video of that in action. I've had that at the top of my flying bucket list for a long time. I want to experience flying in there. I've done Midway once, and that was like I'll always remember every moment of that. And so yeah, those are the two big ones that are on my mind. And of course, then I guess the third one is just flying when there's a presidential TFR and not turning down a great day to go up in the air.
Yeah, my oh wow moment was when my flight instructor asked me to do what he called threading the needle here in Chicago, which was again that first moment for me where you can just fly down the coast and then inward in Chicago right through O'Hare and in between O'Hare and Midway's airspace, and I just thought, wow, this is really cool. I can't believe we're doing this and not talking to anyone.
But, yeah, right.
But again, it teaches you about aviation, which right. is, you know, as long as you're doing the right things, you're staying out of the airspace and you're squawking VFR and you're looking outside, you get that wonderful opportunity to fly near two of the busiest airports in the world and take in the view and also become a better pilot while doing it and being aware. So that was my first experience
with
that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was just going to say, I think one of the key things you said is keeping your eyes out of the cockpit. Keeping your eyes out of the cockpit is huge, and that's a great skill that I think a lot of us sort of let slide inadvertently over time. When you get fixated on all these fancy instruments you've got on your panel, and here threading the needle, if you will, you've got to keep your eyes outside of the cockpit. You're not focusing on talking to someone. You're right. Flying the airplane.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Cause that's one of the things that's okay. So we're VFR. If we're under VFR flight rules, you know, we have to. That's all about looking outside the window, right? And that's kind of what makes it fun. I think that's kind of why I really like taking pictures and videos. Is that it? Almost for you know, there's a lot of distractions and cool technology and stimulus inside the cockpit with what Lewis just said of the new Avidyne and Garmin systems and GPSs and things like that, but. You know, hey, you know, it's one of those step back and smell the roses type of moments of, hey, look outside and just enjoy it and, you know, be able to share it. One of the things I'd really like to do is kind of take pictures of towns and cities and landmarks and post them on Facebook and say, hey, can anybody name this city or university or
why do pictures whatever. On Facebook? I'd rather do videos on Spark Reel.
Yeah, right.
You're hired.
Right. But no, I've done that. So here's one thing that I've done on that Hudson River flight. I took that and I emailed it to all my friends that lived in New York or currently live there. And I say, hey, can you see your house? And then if that's, you know, that's going to spark them to go, you know, no pun intended, spark real, but go out and open up the video and see something cool and, mm-hmm. yeah, look for their house. You know, it's kind of a neat interaction with aviation in the public and, you know, spark real being a good canvas for something like
that. One of the things I love about flying is the view out the window.
Yes.
And... you know, people constantly hear me say, it doesn't matter what the day is. I get up in the air and I look down and it's, is this the most beautiful thing in the world or what? And I saw a book and it said, I don't know what its title, actually it's probably over there, something about all the pictures from the sky. And I bought the book over the internet, Sight Unseen, and it's all from 35 and 40,000 feet. It's the
cool.
It isn't cool. It's, you know, 35, 40, it's like looking at a map. It's like Google Map. But seeing the world at 3,500 feet and 4,000 feet mm-hmm. is something people just don't get to see unless you're in a GA airplane or just upon takeoff or landing in a airliner. And I think that's the special thing, whether it's through Spark Reel or just that, you know, I love to see and it's fun to share.
Right.
I think one of the things that I was always curious about before I got into flying was what do the pilots see? What are they seeing when they're on final approach to a runway? Or what's it like when they're at cruise and they're looking out? Because I only had the side window, and
yeah.
I'd try and crane my neck and press my face against the window as much as I could. But this has been a good alternative for me to share with coworkers, for instance, who have questions about, oh, hey, what'd you do when you were flying this week? What's it like? Yeah, how do you feel? How are landings? And I can say, hey, here, look at this, and this is exactly what I see,
yeah.
and feel as we're going in, and so then they get interested, and then they ask, hey, next time you're going, I'll go with you if that's cool,
right. That's one thing that's kind of neat. So there are some videos on Spark Reel right now that show that perspective, what it's like to fly in the clouds and all of a sudden see the runway or see a cool approach into a cool city and things like that. I think it's fly a big airplane into a small airport. I think that's the cool things that you can share, you know, with people. And that whole visual, you know, there's that question of the unknown, you know, when you get in an airplane and, you know, an airliner in this case, and you always wonder what does it look like out front, you know. Mm-hmm. there is also, and to prove this point, here's a good old this is something that happened in my airline career, and there was a guy that I was flying with that he had his kids on board, and you know, unfortunately, you know, September 11th kind of locked the cockpit to everybody. And you know, so you know, back in the before September 11th, you were always, you could be invited up to go see the cockpit and see everything, but you know, 9/11 is shut that down. But so anyway, part of a procedure for taxiing out you know, doing our checklist for in the airline was to make sure that the cockpit door was securely latched. Well, he strategically placed his kids in the front row. And you know, because it's his first flight, and he's really glad to have him on board. And you know, this is the first time they're gonna see what Daddy does when he's gone. So, you know, we pull onto the runway, get clear for takeoff, and the cockpit door was unlocked. So here we go. You know, we go and you know, one, our call outs were, all right, ready to go. You look at each other like, yep. They're like, okay, give it full throttle and go toga, meaning takeoff thrust. So the auto throttles to take off, you get kicked back in your seat, and the door is unlocked, so boom, it's wide open. And everybody, you look back, and everybody's like, they go back, and they're just trying to like peek in the aisle and see what it looks like from up front in the cockpit, you know, during the takeoff. And so here we are, we're not going to board a takeoff because the door swung open. So here we go, we're takeoff, and you know, you see all the arm movements of raising the landing gear and controlling the yoke, and then the flight attendants then start freaking out, and they get up and shut the door. So it was a quick glimpse for this guy to be able to show his kids what.
He did it on purpose.
Yeah, he did it on purpose so he could show his kids what he did. Did it work?
That's excellent.
Good. Yeah, that's crafty.
So, yeah, right. So no more of that. Now we have Spark Reels. So keep the cockpit doors locked, but you know, you can show it that way.
You know, and it's amazing to me. You know, the other places that you can go, you mentioned the YouTubes up until now have been the place. And I find myself looking for start of a Piper Meridian, start of a King Air, whatever. And it's amazing.
You look for those two?
What?
You look for those two?
Yeah, that's my point. They wouldn't have them if it was just me looking for them.
Right.
You put those search terms in, you'll get a boatload because everyone's looking. We all share that. Mm-hmm. We just don't think about it. And it's neat. Look, oh, he's touching that button. He's introducing fuel. Let's listen to that wonderful sound.
Yeah, right.
And so that same kind of thing. We need a fix for our little addiction.
Right.
And you can learn. You can learn. I think before I showed up for my first hour, I knew that you had to keep that turn coordinated. And yeah. I was overly focused on keeping the ball in the center.
Right.
Because yeah. I watched like 10 videos on YouTube, and you know, that was pretty important.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, it is a great learning tool as well. At least for me, I can't learn reading a book. I have to see a video and it will be shown, demonstrated.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Well, one of the things that's kind of neat is that I started doing that and using, well, just as from a flight instructor standpoint, you can record, you know, I think we mentioned that Lewis mentioned this earlier about, you know, recording training, you know, bad landings, good landings, and something that can be, redistributed and played back. And I did this, and unfortunately, I didn't use SparkReel for this one. I think I'm going to, because I can, you know, we can make groups and, keep things private. You know, I don't want to broadcast somebody's bad landing for training purposes on YouTube or whatnot, but I think this would fill, you know, SparkReel can facilitate that, the element of confidentiality, right? But that element of playback of and learning and being able to see yourself actually do the movements and record it for that good landing, you know, that it's such a good connect for a student to replay that and do armchair flying at home. So we have this idea of that, you know, you said it earlier today, every day is a good day to fly, right?
Every day that you fly is a great day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it might not necessarily be a, you go actually in an airplane that day, but you could sit there and get your fix from something like this and learn and do armchair flying or hangar talk or flying. That's a huge, that's a great learning tool.
Yeah. Although it makes you want to go up and say, yeah,